this morning on the show, we thought we'd have a little talk about drones. And I'm not talking about the ones that kind of fly over the Middle East. I'm talking about the ones that fly over, well, our back gardens and various locations, because there have been some near misses. People have been concerned about where these drones go, who flies them. There have been concerns about privacy. So we can talk to our own drone king, Mr. James Hazel.
Morning.
Who is a qualified drone pilot. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
And our gadget guru, Matt Porter, is here as well. Good morning. These things have come on the scene very quickly, really, haven't they? They started off being little toys, but all of a sudden, they are really quite sophisticated items, these drones.
They're very sophisticated, and I don't want to sound piggy here, but I need to correct it. They are not drones.
What are they then?
Drone supposes that they have no kind of control over them, but they are, of course, humanly controlled. So they're UAVs. They're unmanned aerial vehicles. And I think the distinction needs to be made, because drones, for me, sums up images of the RAF or
but they're still humanly
military.
Controlled, aren't they, even from a distance?
Yeah, you're right. And they shouldn't be called drones either.
Right, so they should be called
Unmanned aerial vehicles.
Okay.
But for the purposes of the conversation,
we'll
happy to call them drones.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
But you're right, the technology has exploded over the last 5 years, so, you know, lots of very interesting things can be done.
So you've decided to take it very seriously.
Yep.
You've got your own drone company.
Yep.
And so you went through a series of courses to get a pilot's licence.
Yeah, it's not actually a pilot's licence. You qualify to show that you are competent, you understand the air navigation order, you understand all that goes along with the safety aspect of flying these aircraft, and then you become accredited by the Civil Aviation Authority. You become someone who is able to commercially fly these things and take photography and imagery with them.
But you don't need to have those licences, do you?
You don't.
No. So I could go to, well, I could go online, I could buy a big drone.
Yep.
With no training.
Same. Well, you say up to 20 kilograms. Yeah.
Okay. And I could just go off and practice and play with one, and it could end up anywhere. It could end up in the water.
It could.
Okay. Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Okay.
Well, no, not anywhere. I mean, let's, again, most manufacturers now are building in geofencing, which is where the internal firmware, the bit that guides the machine, if you like, restricts it from going to various places.
Mm.
You can't take off near an airport.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, for instance, we had a recent job over at the Midnight Walk, which, as you know, launches from the training pitch at Portman Road. I had hell and all trouble getting the manufacturer to lift the restriction because Portman Road is a no-fly zone.
Right. Okay.
And I had to say, look, it's not a match day. I'm a professional. And we had to have toing and froing. And eventually, just in the nick of time, they lifted it. So manufacturers are doing their bit.
Right, okay.
This was off the back of, initially off the back of the drone, the drone landing in the White House garden, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that was
so
what prompted it.
That prompted this geofencing to come in. And, of course, there was also a case of Premiership football grounds being filmed as well, which was sort of quite high profile.
Because the fear, and we'll come on to the question about whether we should all have licences in a moment too, but the fear from some people is that these devices could carry something, could carry a little bomb or a little nuclear device or something like that, and or fly into an aircraft, whatever it might be. These are the concerns that people have.
I was talking to a friend of mine that's in the Metropolitan Police, and he was talking to me over the weekend about the number of cases they've had themselves of drones flying into prisons and perhaps dropping contraband off or mobile phones, that kind of thing. So these things are actually happening. But I'm not sure what we could do to stop that kind of thing happening, because if you've got criminals operating it, they'll find a way to get around most restrictions, I guess.
So is this the case that they've come in so fast and so quickly that the law hasn't really caught up?
Well, it hasn't, because model aircraft have been around for donkey's years, and there is quite clear rules and regulations that surround model aircraft, and they've worked really well.
Mm.
What the difference is that I think there's been an explosion of these things. People see them in the sky. They don't maybe understand or don't know what the technology is. They don't know what it's doing there. And they fear the worst, frankly, from it. And I have to say, the mass media coverage in this country has been absolutely appalling in this area. It's been only yesterday, the headline in several of the nationals, paedophiles using drones.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. That is absolutely outrageous, because, and we'll maybe look at the figures in a moment, but you know, to suggest that anybody who owns one must be a paedophile.
Yeah, there were complaints where someone was flying it in a playing field near a play area. Well, yeah. You're going to take something like that to an open area to fly it if yeah. it happens to be near a play
yeah,
area,
there
perhaps.
There is paranoia being circulated by the mass media. There is no doubt about that.
And well, for all sorts of reasons, those could be part of it. Should we restrict the use of these drones to only people who have gone through qualifications in the way that you have?
No.
Why not?
For the reason is the question presupposes there is a problem. And I don't believe there is.
You don't?
I don't believe there's a problem.
Yeah,
and
we've just heard from Matt that there clearly is a problem if police officers are seeing drones flying over prisons and potentially dropping stuff off.
I think the problem
is that a professional qualification is not going to stop that, is it?
Well, no, at least you better track down who's doing it.
I don't think so, because you've got... you could go to an electronic shop, Mark, and buy a box of bits and pieces, electronic components, and you could build your own drone without having to go and buy one. Mm. And you could build one which will automatically steer very easily with a little bit of information from the internet. You could build your own drone. So there's no reason really to go and get training. I think maybe there is an argument, which was back when I got a CB radio in 1981, where you paid a tenner and you got a license to use it. And at the very least, you are reading the rules and regs of using it.
Let's be clear. It is the responsible thing to do. It is the sensible thing to do. But should it be the legislative thing to do? Because at the end of the day, you can go out and buy an air pistol without training. You can go and buy a BB gun. You can buy a crossbow and you don't require training for it. And I'll tell you something, the incidents and accidents surrounding those things are significantly higher than the safety record. Okay. And I do hope we're going to come onto the safety record of drones.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. we'll do that because clearly he's done his research. And we wouldn't want that wasted. So we'll do that right after this. We're looking at these so-called drones. What are they called, James Hazel?
UAVs. Unmanned aerial vehicles.
Unmanned aerial vehicles. Makes it sound like a UFO in the sky. James Hazel is a drone pilot. Matt Porter is our gadget guru from Matt Porter Web Design. You were keen a few moments ago to talk about the safety record. Let me just mention a text that's come in from Brian in Colchester.
Yep.
I recently flew from Gatwick with 550 other people on board an aircraft. A drone smashed into a plane recently and had to turn round back to the airport. Yep. We must license them and put GPS trackers on them so the police can trace the owners. I think
I'm delighted that that's come in.
Yeah.
Because that is the nub of the problem.
It didn't, did it?
It didn't.
No.
It wasn't a drone. It was a carrier bag. Our version of the NTSB, the investigation, what are they called over in this country? Not the CIA,
Air Accident Investigation Board.
Yeah, have said that it was actually a carrier bag caught in an updraft. And yet there was this amazing hullabaloo when it happened. And I at the time said, I cannot imagine this was a drone. There was absolutely no damage to the aircraft, as was because it was inspected afterwards. And as it turns out, it wasn't.
Okay, so it was a plastic bag flying.
It was a plastic bag. So we're going to ban those.
You've clearly done your research. You're itching to get it out. Tell me how safe these
things
are.
Well, I just want to put this into some sort of perspective, because there is this huge fuss and the national media are driving this. Let's look at some figures. 1.2 million of these things sold last year alone, which is £100,000 per month. Per month worldwide. 3 million operation hours per month, i.e. 3 million hours of drone flying is happening around the world every month. That's 12 million flights, okay? Worldwide deaths as a result of drones, zero. Worldwide serious injury as a result of drones, zero. Worldwide causing an aircraft to crash, zero. Worldwide colliding with an aircraft, zero. 800 people a year are killed because of toasters. So does that not put it into some sort of perspective? Do we really have a problem when we have these millions of things flying, we have these millions of operational hours, and so far not one serious injury, let alone a death?
All right, and we bring in Roger Smith, who's our aviation expert. He's based in Alton Broad. Morning, Roger.
Good morning, Mark.
Thanks for joining us on the programme. Do you think these things need better regulating?
No, I don't. I agree with what your previous correspondent has said. The facts are there for all to see. I think what we need is education. I was in a certain electronics store the other day where they sell drones, one called a DJI Phantom, which is very popular and very capable. Not a thing on the box about law, about model aviation clubs or national bodies. So someone can go in a shop, spend 800 quid, take it down a park and launch it, put the batteries in and launch it. Now, where we need is education, and that will solve the problem, apart from one or two criminal elements. Well,
I completely agree with what the gentleman is saying, but I have to say, just behind you, Mark, is one of those very models, and that came, like you say, in a fairly unmarked box. But inside, there is a whole raft of documentation about guidance about flying.
The Parrot Bebop that I was using, the first thing when I opened the box was there was a big information leaflet saying, do not fly near people, do not take money for it. They have this built-in geofencing
as well. They have this built-in inability to fly in dangerous areas now.
Roger, does that kind of satisfy you a bit more? Or
Absolutely. I'm glad it's being done, but of course not everyone buys their quads from high street shops. They buy them on the internet, mainly China. And of course, you just buy the bits and stick them together when you get them. There's nothing in there to say about it, particularly safety and air law. I mean, the air navigation order applies to models as well as full-size aeroplanes.
So you don't think that we should have to go through a licensing system to fly one of these things?
I don't, but of course there is a licensing system in place. If you want to use one of these things for aerial work, where you get paid for what you do have to have a license, and the vehicle has to be licensed as well. But I think at the lower end, there's no need for that. I think good education, lots of publicity. I think the problem, well, there isn't a problem, but any potential problem is going to be solved.
OK, Roger, thank you very much. On the line to us now is Jonathan Nicholson from the Civil Aviation Authority, the CAA. And let's see what they think about these so-called drones. Jonathan, good morning.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for joining us on the show today. We've got Matt, our gadget guru, and my radio colleague James Hazel, who's got a drone flying company, fully licensed, I have to say. What's the CAA's thoughts on these things at the moment?
Well, we absolutely agree that drones are fantastic. They've got a great future, both as an enthusiast operation, but also some of the commercial operations and humanitarian things they could do in the future are endless, really. But to get the real benefit from those things, we need everybody who has a drone to fly them safely.
And are they not at the moment, then?
Well, certainly we're seeing quite a number of incidents where pilots are commercial airline pilots and private pilots of small aircraft and military pilots are reporting that they think drones are getting way too close to them when they fly.
Just on that point, can I just interject and suggest that at the NTSB have just released figures where it transpires less than 4% of drone sightings, if you like, from pilots turned out to be actual drones.
You only need one, though, don't you?
You only need one to do what?
To interfere with an aircraft.
Well, when you say interfere with an aircraft...
Might be sucked into the jet.
Yeah, well, again, there is several bits of research which suggest what would happen if that were the case. And it's likely to happen every 187 million years.
Right, okay.
That's how often it's likely to happen. And there is no... And this is the other thing. You know that they do these tests where they fire turkeys and chickens at jet engines. Mm. For some reason, there is no test that has taken place to see what would actually happen. Because presumably, there is this sense that actually they would just get smashed to bits and... It might be a little costly to the airline, but it certainly wouldn't be.
I think there's altitude limits as well, being
400 feet
on most drones that you would buy over the counter. In fact, the one that I had was a limit of that, so you couldn't go any further than that. It was the altitude was limited.
Jonathan, you've got a drone code, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's quite straightforward for people to fly. You've already mentioned the line of sight, not above 400 feet, not near airports or people flying where people are flying lots of aircraft. It's available for everyone, caa.co.uk/drone-aware. And the other thing I would emphasise as well from a safety perspective, obviously we want the skies to be as safe as possible. It's not just about the risk of collision. We've seen Manchester Airport shut last year for a period of time because there were worries about a drone being flown close by. And obviously pilot distraction is an issue as well. So if you're flying a large airliner into an airport and you get distracted by a drone, it's not just the conflict issue, it's also the distraction issue as well.
The trouble is there are morons out there who like to fire these laser pens up in cockpits, and I guess the same morons, if they got their hands on one of these, might be tempted to, let's see how close we can get. Is that what worries you?
Well, absolutely. Anything that can endanger the safety of the skies worries us, and that's why we have the drone code, and that's why we encourage people to fly their drones responsibly so that everybody can enjoy drones in the future.
Should they all be licensed or not?
That's something for the government. They are doing a consultation later this year, which will ask that, and following that, they will make a decision. It's something that some countries have done, something other countries have chosen not to do.
Thanks very much indeed for joining us. That's Jonathan Nicholson from the CAA. So they are wonderful things, good fun, if used sensibly and properly.
If used sensibly, and as I said, these figures that I've given you suggest that by a long, long way they are. I mean, we take a test and we are licensed to use cars, aren't we? Let's not forget, 1.25 million deaths a year on the road.
When I was flying the drone that I had the last few weeks, you know, I made... that I went to somewhere that wasn't didn't have lots of people around it, that it was a kind
of
safe area.
Well, there's common sense at play as well, isn't it?
You know, and then I was able to relax.
There's common sense over the privacy, there's common sense on the risk evaluation.
If I'm, you know, sunbathing in the back garden, I don't want a drone flying over and potentially taking pictures of me. That's invading my privacy, isn't it?
I don't want Google's satellites flying over me, but they do.
Yeah, but only once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon, yeah, you're right. But again, you're absolutely right. And there is a nuisance element. Yeah. But to be honest, if you
can't you understand parents not wanting this thing flying over?
I live next door to a playing field, and there's a flying club that a radio controlled aircraft flying club that are there, and I've put my children to bed, and I can hear over my house. Now, you know, I just assume, right, okay, well, that's the flying club, and they'll be gone in a little while, so that could be considered a nuisance. But to be fair, you know. These people are just flying there.
I mean, it is the worst possible way to acquire an image of a person, isn't it?
Because
you're a long way away. You're using cameras designed for landscape and being outside, and it is the worst possible way to acquire an image.
So no licensing. No one wants a license.
No. Okay. Well, who would run it? And, you know, it cost over $2,000 for me to get mine.
Yeah.
So clearly it's cost. And unless they're going to make some kind of cheap, easy, simple way of doing it, fine. But again, as Matt has said, you know, if you're bent on causing trouble, you're going to cause trouble.
Yeah, but if you get one of these things, you're just going to get bored with it, aren't you? Unless you make a business out of it like you've done. I mean, it's like everything else. It's like the old pop-up toast, the old sandwich toasters. It'll end up in the back of a cupboard somewhere.
Well,
drop in the water or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the one that I had was reasonably... quite expensive, so you're paying for quality, and it had lots of safety features so that if it lost signal, it would hover, or if it lost signal for 60 seconds, it would come back and land where it took off from. So there was lots of safety features in there, but once you involve a human, actually, I found that was when you might have problems with controlling it. So.
All right, boys, thank you very much. That was drone-tastic, by the way.
Thank you, Brendan. I've got more facts and figures if you want.
No, it's fine. So you're on in an hour. You can use them then.
Yeah, all right.
But a great example of how it can be used was the film that you shot of the treehouse that was on the Facebook page last week, the Children's Hospice.
Well, there is a positive side of it.
A big aerial view of all of that. So, good stuff. James Hazel, thank you. See you in an hour. And Matt Porter, our gadget guru from Matt Porter Web Design.